and welcome to the second episode of the Downtown Phoenix Podcast. It's the 10th of March, 2014, and I'm your host, Edward Jensen, and welcome back. We hope you enjoyed the first episode last week within our conversation with David Kreider. The Downtown Phoenix Podcast is a presentation of Edward Jensen Urban Productions, and this episode was recorded in the new community studio of Downtown Phoenix, Inc. in downtown Phoenix. My great thanks to RJ Price and Anna Concy for helping assemble the equipment and providing this studio space for the podcast. Our conversation on this episode of the podcast is with G.G. George, a longtime Phoenix advocate and one of Historic Preservation's fiercest advocates in the city. She arrived in Phoenix in the late 1960s as civic leaders were starting to think about bringing the new Eisenhower Interstate Highway System to Phoenix. If there is anyone in the city who is an example of the importance of continuous and persistent involvement in the city, it's G.G. George. My conversation with G.G. was recorded on the 18th of February, 2014, from the studios of Downtown Phoenix, Inc. in downtown Phoenix. Let's start at the beginning. What's your story? When did you come to Phoenix and what brought you to Phoenix?
I moved to Phoenix in 1966 and moved to my current address in the Encanto Palmcroft Historic District in 1969. I wanted to come where it's warm and I love the weather.
So what was the, when you came to Phoenix, Gigi, what was the first project that you tackled?
Well, in 1967, there was a channel called Channel 33 that wanted to broadcast bullfights from Mexico. And I've always been sensitive to the plight of animals and active in anti-animal abuse cases. And so we organized a boycott of that station. We spoke to their pre-on-air sponsors, and we got them to drop it. And that station went bankrupt. And then it's now owned by a religious company, which I'm glad they had the opportunity to purchase it.
Excellent. In 1960s era Encanto neighborhood, it was obviously a much different place than it was in 2014. Around that time, the plans were for an elevated Papago Freeway, as you well know. What community efforts did you join or spearhead to take the Papago Freeway from being 100 feet above the ground and making it into, or starting the conversation and making it into its current form?
Well, in 1969, Encanto looked very similar to what it does today. It had been a choice community in the 20s, and it really never went downhill. And so, although it was downtown, and I organized my neighbors to have alley lights to light up our alleys at night, because actually I was afraid to go into my alley after dark. But then in 1970, when I discovered that the Papago Freeway was going to soar 100 feet in the air just 6 blocks south of where I had purchased my home, and the Arizona Highway Department at that time was destroying approximately 2,200 homes and businesses in the path of the proposed freeway, I became very concerned and joined a group called Citizens for Mass Transit Against Freeways. We decided at that point that the 100 feet in the air was not going to do Phoenix any good, so we worked very hard for a couple of decades to make sure that central section of the freeway was placed underground. And of course, that led to what we have now, a nice park on top of that freeway.
Summarize a little bit the different steps and successes, if you will, and setbacks that were encountered in making sure that the I-10 was not 100 feet in the air, instead into its current form.
Well, we began by informing all of the neighborhoods in the path of the freeway and slightly north of the freeway, say from Central Avenue to 19th Avenue, from Thomas South, about the proposed freeway. It had mostly been a closely held secret. The Arizona Highway Department at that time, now the Arizona Department of Transportation, informed a few people at luncheons, people that they thought counted, but they didn't inform the general populace. And we felt like it was people's responsibility to know what was happening and to do what they could to make it better.
Okay. And then you mentioned forming or notifying citizens between Central and 19th Avenue. Was that the first step in the group that you're in charge of, the Encanto Citizens Association?
Yes, the Encanto Citizens Association was formed to maintain the built environment and to inform people about issues that would affect them. So we did organize and notified the 2,000 homeowners between Central and 19th Avenue, say McDowell to Thomas Road, about what was happening. We tried to inform the people south of McDowell Road, but it was an aging population, and there were only one or two people that took an interest in seeing what they could do to make the concept for the freeway better.
What are the current boundaries of the ECA?
The current boundaries are from 7th Avenue to 15th Avenue, from McDowell to the park. Out of our original association arose 7 different historic districts. We're pleased that everybody decided to try to determine their own situation in life and took an interest in what we were doing.
And then the Encanto Palmcroft neighborhood was listed on the National Register, as you know, in 1984. Was that the first neighborhood in Phoenix to be listed?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was. We had begun the drive in 1977 when I found out that neighborhoods could be listed on the National Register, but there weren't any in Phoenix at that time, and I thought it was a wonderful idea. I was a bit naive at the time because I thought all you had to do was tell the Department of the Interior you were 50 years old and they would enfold you with open arms, but that was not the way it happened. It took a lot of research. We had to hire a firm out of San Francisco because really there were not a lot of people in Phoenix doing historic research at that time. So that was how we began our march to history.
One of the major tenets of the original freeway plan was making 3rd and 5th Avenue and 3rd and 5th Street major access points to the freeway. Talk to me a little bit, Gigi, about what some of those original plans were and what was done to make sure that those plans didn't come into place.
In 1973, there was a vote on whether the Papago Freeway should be built or not be built. We defeated it soundly at that time, although the City of Phoenix traffic engineers still had grandiose ideas of bulldozing through neighborhoods to make whatever freeway may eventually have been built accessible. They wanted to drive a stake through the heart of Central Phoenix by widening 3rd Avenue, making a crossover street between 3rd Avenue and 5th Avenue, and 3rd Avenue, 3rd Street and 5th Street. So the answer is they bulldozed ahead as if nothing had ever happened and things were going to be as they were. But that was not really quite the same thing. The City of Phoenix named a committee to study the subject, as they often do when citizens are aroused. And by great good fortune, I was named chairperson of that committee. So looking at all of the aspects and making sure people were educated at that point in time that the freeway was not really going to be built the way it had originally been thought or designed, we convinced the City of Phoenix that crossovers and taking out historic homes between 3rd and 5th Avenue and widening 3rd Avenue that would decimate 22 homes on that side of the street, on the east side of 3rd Avenue, let me be specific, was not a good idea. So that plan was trashed.
The Willow neighborhood and the Willow Historic District have certainly come into their own as of late. When did they decide, since they were originally part of the Encanto Citizens Association, the Encanto boundaries, when did they decide to be on their own? And what were some of the things that caused them to be on there? Was it a lot to do with development along Central Avenue?
That is precisely the reason. There was development along Central Avenue that was really infringing, because when we were first organized, there were even homes on Central Avenue. But Willow had a problem. Well, the people that lived close to Central Avenue certainly had a problem with high-rise along Central Avenue. And this was the 1970s. So we were busy getting on the National Register. They were developing other problems. And in the long run, it was decided that the consultants we had hired could only document between 7th and 15th Avenue, between McDowell and the park, as being established by two separate and complete developer entities. Willow was built out over time, even though it started in the late teens, the 19-teens. And mm-hmm. so they were certainly beautiful houses and still are today, but we could not document that part. We had a limited budget, and so we decided that it would be the best thing to move forward with our nomination to the National Register. And Willow was getting quite adept at solving their own problems. And so that was 1980. So we decided to just move forward.
What is now on the National Register from Encanto? I understand the boundaries of that historic neighborhood have been expanded a couple times over the years.
Yes, from McDowell Road to Encanto Boulevard, and including the park, from 7th Avenue to 15th Avenue. There is a small neighborhood called Encanto Vista that is slightly north of Encanto Boulevard, and it's also on the National Register in its own right.
The Encanto neighborhood is one of the few with original historic streetlights, but I understand they were slated to be removed because the power company had said that they had, quote, outlived their usefulness. Can you talk to me a little bit about the streetlights?
I would be happy to, Eddie. Yes, in 1975, the streetlights were quite old by then, almost 50 years old, and APS had decided that the old vintage marble-light streetlights had outlived their usefulness. And the city was pretty well going along with that theme. So APS erected a new modern streetlight at the Valley Garden Center. We had a big neighborhood turnout there. We filled the garden center, standing room only, and we gave APS to understand that we would not accept a modern streetlight. We wanted to retain the original streetlights. And, of course, they're a beautiful part of the streetscape today. So APS and the city could not decide who owned the original streetlights. They could not find the original paperwork. So the citizens were aroused, and once again, we convinced the city that it would be in everybody's best interest if the city and APS would restructure the lighting from old incandescent to high-pressure sodium lights and keep the old standards. Well, that was 1975, and in 2012, the city completed a second complete restoration and refurbishment of all of the original 101 original streetlights, so we are very pleased. They look like they did in 1927.
Your biggest neighbor is the Arizona State Fairgrounds.
Yes.
How has that relationship gone over the years?
That relationship has been very congenial over the years. In 1975, an entrepreneur wanted to have midget auto racing at the state fairgrounds. The board of the Encanto Citizens Association sat down with the board of the fairgrounds, and we convinced them that it would put unconscionable noise into the neighborhood, especially on 17th Avenue. So they decided that they would not take the entrepreneur's deal and continue with the fairground as it always had been. The interesting thing about it was there was an oval racetrack for cars there in the early 1900s, because the fairgrounds was organized in 1905, and they raced the old flivvers there, but not modern day.
Not modern day. And then we'll jump ahead from the 70s to the late 1980s. And one of the things that has certainly become popular has been the idea of cookbooks, and certainly as cookbooks to establish sense of place and a sense of neighborhood cuisine. And I understand there was an Encanto cookbook.
Actually, there have been two Encanto cookbooks. One in 1989, Encanto Cooks, and everyone in the neighborhood contributed to it. Even some of the original residents in 1989. And then in 1999, there was enough interest to do a second cookbook, so we're very proud of both of them.
In 1994, the ECA, the Encanto Citizens Association, won the Governor's Award for Historic Preservation. What caused the governor to give ECA the award?
Well, every year, about 10 awards are given out by the governor's office and Arizona State Parks. And so we were nominated by Eileen Bailey for that year as the community organization. And the award presentation was in Flagstaff. So we traveled to Flagstaff. And Terry Goddard was there, and he made the interesting observation that the Encanto Citizens Association had been working on this award for the past 25 years. So I thought that was really true, because our work is ongoing.
Right. I think one of the most interesting features of any of the historic neighborhoods in town is the triangle parks on 9th Avenue. And I understand that there were bird baths there. I'm sure there's an interesting story behind that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. In 1990, the city of Phoenix, in their infinite wisdom, decided to remove the original bird baths from 1927 from our little vest pocket parks at 9th Avenue and Monta Vista. As a matter of fact, vest pocket parks are making a comeback these days because there is a new book that was reviewed by the New York Times that spoke about green spaces, small green spaces that make our environment more livable. Ours date from the 1920s. So the bird bath fountains and the benches were removed, allegedly to a city lot somewhere. Nobody could find them in any of the city lots, and as a matter of fact, I trekked through some of them myself. But at that time, Councilman Craig Tripkin took an interest in it. Our home tour was coming up, and so we had the great good fortune of having an architect living on Palm Lane, Dietrich Larson. One of the neighbors provided an old picture of the original birdbath fountains, and he drew a drawing from that, and we had it recreated at a stone company here in town. The city of Phoenix wonderfully found two benches that were not in use at South Mountain Park. And so they donated them to the effort. And the benches are relatively modern, streamlined, but we accepted them. And they are now a nice place to sit in these little vest pocket parks at 9th Avenue and Monta Vista.
We love parks. They're great community spaces.
Oh, yes. And it's nice to see them making a 100-year resurgence.
Has ECA been involved in any direct lobbying to influence policy, both at local and at state or the state level?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we constantly are involved. It's very time consuming, but it's very worth it. In 2010, there was an effort at the state legislature to remove the historic tax credit, but the Office of Budget found out it would actually increase expenses to the state to remove that. So we who live in historic districts are very fortunate to be able to have the historic tax credit at tax time.
One of your more contemporary projects has been the adoption of the arboreal gardens at Palm Lane and Central, or not Central, Palm Lane and 15th Avenue, which is adjacent to the Rose Center, the Rose Garden Center, the Valley Garden Center. What are some of the changes that are happening to the arboreal gardens as a result of ECA's adoption?
Well, in 2010, the arboreal garden was looking a little bit woebegone, and the rose garden was probably not getting the attention it deserved. And so we decided to adopt the arboreal garden, which is on the Palm Lane side, the north side of the Valley Garden Center. Mm-hmm. The rose garden runs from Palm Lane to Holly. So two beautiful assets to our community that did not look as good as they had in years past. So we decided to adopt them. We were able to get the Arizona Centennial Legacy designation for both of those. and they have really improved in the last 4 years. We invite the community to come take a look at the Rose Garden, see the newly refurbished 1962 sundial there, and in the Arboreal Garden. We have a contemporary sundial that was designed by one of the Encanto Palmcroft residents, and the Valley Garden Center is truly, once again, and it has just been painted, by the way, an asset to our community and the city of Phoenix.
What is the relationship, Gigi, of the Valley Garden Center and the ECA? And also, as a follow-up to that, is it affiliated with Encanto Park?
The Valley Garden Center is on Encanto Park land. Encanto Park runs all the way to just north of McDowell Road. Between 13th and 15th Avenue, there is a vacant spot on McDowell Road that had contained historic buildings that were bulldozed in 2007. We have recently learned there is new interest in putting a project on that land, so we will be watching that with intense interest.
And that's a great segue. As someone who's a very leading figure in historic preservation in Phoenix, what are maybe the top four challenges that face historic preservation in Phoenix and the preservation of established neighborhoods like Encanto Palmcroft? And then what are, on the positive side, we'll talk a little bit about some of the good things that are happening in historic districts, but what are some of the challenges that are facing historic districts first?
Well, I believe the challenges are quite often, and this would occur throughout the historic districts, people who move in because the districts are so charming but may not have an understanding of the history and the reason those districts were there and the way they are today. So it took a lot of work on many individual people's parts, not just in Encanto Palmcroft, but Woodley Melrose, Campus Vista, Encanto Manor, Margarita Place, Del Norte. Many, many people worked on preserving all these neighborhoods. So once they become fashionable, people come in and often want to remake the houses in their own image. That is a challenge facing every historic district. Another challenge could be incompatible building on their edges. We want to make sure that new buildings do not infringe on the historic aspects of these old neighborhoods. And a third, of course, challenge is what we love is adaptive reuse.
Mm-hmm. The city has been looking at how it does infill in central neighborhoods, and the historic neighborhoods are also the central neighborhoods too. What dialogue has there been between historic preservation advocates and the city and those who prefer or who would like to see infill and density and adaptive reuse? What conversations have there been? What dialogue has there been in trying to find a happy medium between old and new?
I think infill and density can interact very well with historic neighborhoods. They can be a complement to each other, the very new with the very old, if they're done correctly, and if everybody takes an interest in seeing that it is done correctly.
So then let's move over to the other side of the question. Some of the historic preservation and neighborhood historic preservation positive things, the victories that have happened in the past decade or so.
The victories have been, of course, the adoption of the Valley Garden Center, the maintenance of the Willow area the way it is because First Avenue was closed off, so Central Avenue would not infringe and put thousands of cars into the Willow area. Margarita Place has become more cohesive, which is a very small but wonderful neighborhood just south of Thomas Road. So there have been a lot of victories. There are also old churches that are being rehabbed into new uses. And every historic preservation group has its own area in which they are predominant and are interested in. So I applaud the varied interests.
One other group that maybe doesn't get the airplay that it should is the Phoenix Historic Neighborhoods Coalition.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that was off the top of my mind. I wanted to bring that to the forefront.
Talk to me a little bit about that group and what your role with that group is.
Well, I serve as vice president of the Phoenix Historic Neighborhoods Coalition. We have a very active president, Will Novak, and we outreach to other neighborhoods that have not played a significant part in our group. It was organized several years ago to bring the early historic neighborhoods together, and now we're reaching out to all the other 35 neighborhoods to make sure they are aware of us and make sure that they want to participate in preserving things the way we do.
Do you see any new historic neighborhoods being added to that list over time?
Well, this is a bit of heresy, but I will say that we were historic neighborhoods before the city of Phoenix had a HP, Historic Preservation Office. There is a small neighborhood called Encanto Heights that would like to become historic. There has been some conversation that many of the houses have been altered too much, but I would offer to historic neighborhoods, to neighborhoods that have the potential of becoming historic, to work on it yourself, get listed on the National Register of Historic Neighborhoods, and then I think the city of Phoenix would enfold you gladly.
You're currently co-authoring a book of the Phoenix's Greater Historic, or Phoenix's Greater Encanto Palmcroft Neighborhood. Talk to me a little bit about that process and when we can expect to see that book on the shelves.
I would love to. My co-author, Lee Conrad, and I have been working on this for the last 18 months, and we believe it will be out from the publishers on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo. We can't wait to really see it. There are a few minor edits that still need to be made, but we are in the process of winding it up.
What pieces of advice would you give to people who want to get involved and how they can get involved and be the change that they want to experience in our cities?
Well, I was very fortunate that when I was a little girl, my mother would sit me up on her counter when I was 3 and say to me, "You can do anything you want to do." So if you want to see change, I say, get involved and be the change. You have to be involved because you just can't talk about it and say, "This is what I want." No, you have to get out there and put in the sweat and the time, whatever it takes to get the change you want to see.
Thank you so much for participating and for having this conversation with me.
Thank you for this opportunity, Eddie. But I also want to say it was not just me. Thousands of people have been involved in this effort and are still involved in making Phoenix a better place to live.
Thank you. That's Gigi George. You can learn more about the Encanto Citizens Association and Gigi George's book, Phoenix's Greater Encanto Palmcroft Historic District, and all the things mentioned in our conversation at our website, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. We will be back with more of the Downtown Phoenix Podcast after this. We have a full community calendar on our website that has both fun events and community meetings. You can find that online at our website, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. Coming up on next week's episode of the podcast, we will talk to groups and individuals working on the new master plan for downtown's Hance Park. Thanks to my guest today, Gigi George, for joining me in conversation, and thanks also to Downtown Phoenix, Inc. for providing studio space for the Downtown Phoenix Podcast. We will be back next week, the 17th of March. So long. This is the Downtown Phoenix Podcast, an Edward Jensen Urban Production.